are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right. All right. Let's talk about navigating singlehood while staying true to your values. And, you know, in this culture that equates worth with relationship status, single women often feel like the odd ones out, right? But singlehood is not a season to survive. It's a calling to live well. The challenge? Staying true to your values when loneliness whispers and compromise looks tempting. Womanhood in Christ is not defined by who you're dating. It's defined by who you're becoming. And if singleness is where God has you, then there's a purpose and there's a power in it that is worth protecting. This is what we want to talk about this morning with Jabulile Buthelezi Kalonji joining us on the line. My sister, good morning again.
Hi, good morning. Thanks again for having me. Good
Thank
morning
you
to
so
you.
Much. Thank you. Thank you for joining us again. All right. So, Jabulile, why is there often pressure on single women to settle or to rush into relationships? Like, and it's almost like singleness is some kind of a contagious disease. Where does that come from?
I guess because everybody's on their case, you know, the church, society, everybody wants all single women to get married.
Exactly.
And nobody understands, like, why is this, there's this emergency for marriage from single, you know, by from, I think, parents, society, the church, by just, you know, single women who are really just living their lives, trying to establish their careers.
Yeah.
Trying to find themselves, some not even thinking about marriage at all, but they're forced to think about it because there's this pressure. If it's not outspoken from your family or church, you feel it. You know, they make you feel it in every way possible during family reunions, during church programs, during Women's Month, which really sometimes sideline single women, but they don't do it intentionally. And I've said this before. Our programming is so wonderful, but somehow we just automatically wired to think family, family in this instance, the family that we know or rather would prefer to align to, which is a husband, a wife, and children.
Yeah.
We even go to the extent of excluding married women who are childless in the whole family, in the church. Now you can imagine if a married woman without a child is feeling left out, what more so of a single woman who's not even married?
Yeah. And how can single women then live fully and intentionally without losing hope for love? That is, if they are looking for love, like you said, some are not even thinking about it. They're perfectly content as they are. But there are some who do want that life. They do want a husband, but they don't necessarily want to compromise. And, you know, and you hear this all the time. No, your standards are not realistic. You need to lower your standards if you want to find somebody. How can single women live fully and intentionally?
I think one of the first simple things that single women can do is to find contentment in singleness, number one.
Okay.
Because this is your status currently. Mm-hmm. It's not your status forever. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it will be your status forever. We don't know. Only God knows what our plans are in life, right? Mm-hmm. It's not us. It's not up to us to define, I'll be single forever, unless you say, I want to be single forever. So where you are now, you're single, you are unmarried, right? I think you've got to be content with that first.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that it is not a condition. It is perhaps a phase in which you are at right now. This could change next month, next week, next year. Of course, all according to your permission. But you first have to be content with it immediately now, because this is a part of your life. This is a part of who you are.
Yeah.
The book of Philippians 4:11 actually says that in that scripture, Paul states that when he writes, he says he learned to be content in whatever state he was in. So this speaks to the different levels of life and how wherever God places you, it's not about remove me from here now. It's about I'm here now. So this is me now. So we're going to live with where I'm being placed now. And the more you look at other people with their so-called perfect lives, the less you become content with your own. So zoom the focus back to self. Don't look at Instagram and married couples because you're single. Like, why are you looking at that? You can look at it because it looks pretty.
Yeah.
And if, especially if a desire to get married is something you yearn for, look at it, appreciate, smile, laugh at it, click a like, drop a comment, even if it's a person you know, because, you know, you're not a jealous person, you know, where there's good, you appreciate it and you move on. It's not your story. It's their story. You go back to yours, see what you can do. with your particular status. And I think one of the things that helps is to focus on God's grace. Mm-hmm. First Peter 1 verses 13 actually says that prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, don't be conformed to the lusts which were yours in ignorance, you know, blah, 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 yeah, that scripture. Yeah. And I think from there, there's an interesting lesson that as single women, particularly Christian women, use that time during your singlehood or singleness to really run hard after the Lord, seek the Lord, submit to him, and thank him for whatever stage you're at, but also serve him. And here's the beauty of it. You actually have the time to do that because you're not busy. You don't have to prepare supper and dinner. You don't have to raise children. You don't need to do school drop-offs. Or maybe you have that, but you don't, there isn't, you know, the responsibilities that come with being a wife. There's household things that automatically follow that. Whether you're a career woman, whether you're domesticated or not, once you are married, there is a particular decorum that follows that particular title, which is lovely. I mean, people get married and they're pretty much aware of that.
Yeah.
But I also speak about this having been single myself. I mean, I've been more single in my life than I am married currently. Right. Yeah. So my experience of being a single woman is still, I still have a lot of opinions because I actually experienced this longer than I could, I suppose, freely speak on the subject than I can even boldly speak on the subject of marriage, because I feel like I just got here.
Right.
And I think it's easy to share what my experience was and what I did. I did not use my singleness as some project, and I actually didn't allow people to also use it as such, because the church literally sets aside programs that are deliberately curated to try and fix this. And I've always had an issue with that because there's nothing broken. There's nothing to fix.
Yeah.
Right. It's not, once you come at me with that kind of posture of ministry, you've already lost me, because nothing is broken in my life. You don't need to fix my singleness, but you can engage me like normally, like how you would normally engage married women, how you would normally engage any other person, engage me similar, but of course customize certain materials to me so it can be relevant, but do not set it aside as a particular project that needs attention and focus because there's a problem.
Yeah.
So I think I use it as a time to serve. I mean, during my years as a single woman, which were many years, I was hard at work at church, serving everywhere and anything, because I have the time.
Yeah.
I have the time to do that. And you don't have to say anything and make any navigations to say, I'll be back at 9 because there's a prayer meeting. It's your time and it's there. So you might as well just serve and serve to the fulfillment of your creator, which I found it so fulfilling, because then you're so busy, you are focused. And actually, guess what? This is where you get to even discover your purpose, because then God actually shows you through those years that actually, this is who you are and this is what I want to use you for. So even when you get married, you kind of get in there with some clarity, because God has already shown you what he thinks you are and what he would like to use you for, and actually what you can do as an individual, married or not.
I love that. And that's literally the word that came to mind as you were speaking. Purpose. Purpose.
Yeah.
Knowing why I'm here, why God has put me here, and that focus is taken off of my status. Am I married? Am I no, I'm not thinking about that. I've got so much to do. My life is full. And also, as I'm doing this service, whether it's in church or in my community or, you know, growing in my career, it's not even supposed to be serving as a distraction, so that I don't think about that. Like you're saying, it's something broken that needs to be fixed, or that I'm trying to avoid thinking about. No, I'm just living.
Yeah.
It's just about living.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And what does it look like to honor God with your values while navigating modern dating?
I think for me, that's a very important one, because then there's this confusion of, okay, I'm single and happy, but then I'm careless and I'm all over the place. And to some extent, there's some way of dishonoring the very God you serve as well, perhaps in how you do things.
Yeah.
So I would say, you learn to ask.
Okay.
I think we look at God as a God who we should only engage when we ask for money for a house, for a car, or money for fees, you know, money for big things.
Mm-hmm.
But God is also the kind of God we can reach out to when we ask for what we wish and what we want, even the small things. So you can actually ask God to help you just stay put and say, you know, I'm not going to do anything. Perhaps choose celibacy. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, even if you really move it from a Christian perspective, looking at the health aspects of it, looking at just the landscape of our country and society, mm-hmm. perhaps to some length, it's pretty helpful, right? Because you just avoid a lot of, it helps you avoid a lot of things.
Yes.
You know, I think perhaps it helps to also just be true to some of the values, Christian values that mm-hmm. you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel that you have a yearning to perhaps be a wife one day, then maybe it helps to just kind of follow that trend and ask God to help you stay put in that sense where, you know, you just avoid certain things, even though it's not easy, but you avoid them. But as our famous Ellen G. White will say, you keep your circle of friends. So it's not like you're alienating yourself from this other gender, but you really have a healthy circle of friends. You've got people you can chat to, reach out to, you know, chill with and all of that. But I suppose within the dynamics of what you also know is correct and what's not correct. Mm. It's not an easy balance to pull, but at least when there is some, when you're trying and you really ask God to help you through that journey, it's a journey He can help you and He can actually walk that journey with you.
Yeah.
But we usually divorce Him out of that because we think it's not something important to ask, but it is. It's as important as a married woman asking for a child or praying for a child or praying for a marriage, whatever. It's as serious as that. So if as a single woman, you want to pray and ask God to help you navigate your singleness with a sense of humility, a sense of purity as well, He can help you do that. So don't be afraid to ask Him for what you want and the desires of what you wish to get even in the future, even though you don't have it now, and trust Him for that. But I think also what happens is, what can help you as well is to perhaps limit possible temptations that start as simple as the kind of friends you keep, because sometimes pressure comes often from not ourselves, but from the people around us, because the people around us are just flaunting this particular life that you don't have yet in our faith. So you end up yearning it even prematurely, or it's exaggerated really, because everybody around you has it, and perhaps you have it too, but not now, or perhaps you never meant to have it at all. So God has to start helping you learn how to navigate a life without it completely, if perhaps that is His will for you. But you need to be able to carve yourself out of that noise, so He's able to show you if it is something He wants for you or not.
Yeah.
If He's not going to maybe get you married, one way or the other, God is going to tell you that, like somehow He'll show you that this is actually not the ministry I want for you. You're going to be single until you're 65. And at some point, He's going to help you heal and be okay with that, because and make peace with the fact that, no, marriage is not for me. And your mindset shifts to other things that are for you, whether it's ministry or other things. There are people who are not married. They've never been married. Some have wanted to and at some point gave up because they understood that perhaps it's not for them, or others just gave up because they gave up. But these are things I feel God tells you when you are in prayer, when you seek Him earnestly. God really tells us. He'll make you see. And I think spaces around you will communicate what is it you're supposed to have and not have. And you end up being at peace that, oh, no, that's not for me. It doesn't even become a topic anymore because you embrace the life that you believe is the life He set out for you. So there's a number of things I think you can do. Firstly is to just your circle really helps. The kind of lifestyle that you lead and really put yourself through should be one that doesn't increase the pressure. It either cushions it nicely without pressure, with a bit of compassion, or it doesn't bring it out at all. And it's up to you to carve out those type of spaces for yourself, I think.
Yeah.
And definitely avoid the women's programs that, of course, because then that's pressure number one, because they're going to invite you to this bride that, of course, already the setting of the program says, when you leave out of here, if possible, please leave with a date or a boyfriend, which I've always found those very fascinating. So perhaps you say, no, not today. I will not join the bride because there's absolutely no use for me. I have no interest whatsoever.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you have those aspirations and you may happily join.
As you're speaking, I'm thinking, I never thought about it this way, but it's almost like we limit how God can bless us. Like we think that he can only bless us in this way. And if it's not through marriage, then that means I am forgotten. That means God does not care about me. I've done something wrong. There's something wrong with me or whatever. We don't realize until we get our eyes off of that goal that I guess society and especially the faith community often sets for us. Then we start to see that there's so much that God has blessed me with. There's so much else that I can focus on that is a blessing. Again, not a distraction from what I don't have, but it is a blessing in and of itself. And as you're saying, at some point you start to realize that, you know what, I'm actually doing pretty well. I'm quite happy the way that I am. And not because there's something wrong with marriage, but because this is the route God chose for me and I'm happy with it. I like it. And I'm enjoying it because God does want us to be happy. We have to always keep that in mind. Because even when we're thinking about, you know, choosing a life partner, I remember someone close to me who used to say that she's even afraid to pray about that because she's like, oh, what if God gives me a really, really good guy that I'm not attracted to? And I was like, but why would he do that though? I think God wants you to be happy, even if it's someone who would not typically be your type, but He's going to make sure that you're happy. If this gift is from God, it will be a good gift. Don't worry about the T's and C's. But anyways, it just comes down to whether or not we truly trust Him.
And we really trust what He wants for us, right?
Exactly.
Because marriage is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Marriage is as sacred as it is, really, because it is an institution created by God Himself.
Mm-hmm.
Nurtured by Him Himself. But should everybody be married? Absolutely not. Is everybody meant to be married? Absolutely not. So the problem is not God, number one. The problem perhaps to some extent is not even you. It's the people around you who have conditioned the mindsets that you have to get married. Parents start talking about this as soon as children graduate.
Yeah.
When are you getting married? Who's this boy here? What's, you know, you have a friend who comes through, already your parents are asking, so what are your plans?
Yo.
I'm just here to drop her off. We just went to have ice cream. this is a completely misplaced conversation.
Yeah.
I think how the whole society has conditioned itself. And by extension, the mindset of single women that you must get married. You must get married. Even your friends jokingly going, my friend, I'll hook you up. You know, I'm going to actually open this for you, this app for you. It's out of jest, care, love, and a little bit of fun, but it's still not warranted because why? You know, is there something wrong with me, right?
Yeah.
Because if that's meant to happen, then it will happen.
Yeah.
You don't need to. So I think single women need to be left alone. I think that's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
And I think they need to serve in the church, in any position, in my view, particularly where they are capable of serving according to the merit and their spiritual gifting, according to how they've been gifted. I don't think we should reserve certain things for, because I must say in passing, there was something that offended me that was actually a personal experience many years ago. I was meant to serve in a particular department, which I will not say in the church. And this lady was not aware that I'm actually listening. And when my name came up, I was in the room, but they were not aware that I had just walked into the meeting, but I was late. And they were sitting in front, I was at the back, and my name came up. So a few other names came. First one, people raised their hand. Second, mine was the third, and the lady raised the hand to oppose my name. And the reason was that, but she's not married and she's not a mother.
Okay.
And I was at the back, and nobody actually saw that I was at the back. So I left right the room because I'm like, okay. So I get it. I guess fine then. You need a mother, or a wife, and that for me was, it was not hurtful, or it was just because I've been, as I've said, I've always been raised from a very strong background foundation. So I've always been sure of who I am, and my journey has always been clear. But for me, it was a lesson of this is what is wrong with our church. The conditions that are frivolous, that are man-made. Because if I am gifted to serve or perhaps to lead in a particular way, and you discredit me because to you, a person who should lead this particular department should be somebody who's a mom, then you are, or perhaps somebody who is a wife, then you've got it all wrong, because then you are going to have a whole lot more problems yeah. in this department, because you're looking for wives and mothers, not actual leadership acumen that can actually lead this particular department. You see, it's frivolous, man-made stuff. It's not even the church's fault. It's people. So I guess we just have to learn to navigate away from such mindsets within the church. Enjoy your singleness. If you want to go out, we'll go out. Ask God to help you stay true to yourself and refrain from whatever you want to refrain from. Ask him to give you the peace that keeps you content in that season and do other things. Go and study, work, do whatever, volunteer at an orphanage. Do nothing. Sit and watch Netflix. Yeah. It's your life. Live it. Normally, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I think we just need to learn to be open-minded when it. Let's not take them as some project. Single people to the side already. I will not stand on the side, because you've already ostracized me. Because in a church full of people, you've asked me to stay behind. Mm. Everybody's looking at me. So I'm going to go as if I'm also married because I don't want to, do you understand, find a way of getting me to stay without announcing my condition, if it's a condition, as a normal announcement, as if I'm some stay behind because you're single. No.
Yeah.
Maybe try to maybe WhatsApp me. So I really think our church must be creative in many of their ways when they do quite a lot of things, I think.
And speaking of churches and how we can support, how do you think that we can improve in the way that we support and affirm single women in their journey? And even as you're speaking about, you know, ostracizing and singling them out, singling out single people, I'm thinking about how sometimes some programs, even the way that they're crafted, can be, it's almost like, again, to cure this disease of singleness. So even the content of the programs is about how to find a partner, what to look for in a partner. It's going to be tailored to that, as if there's nothing else in a single person's life that matters except fixing this problem. So what can we do to better support and affirm single people in their journey?
I think we can minimize definitely the how to find a partner workshops. In my view, we should actually get rid of them completely. Because if God wants to give you a partner, he'll give you a partner. And we have a circle of friends, as Ellen G. White advises us to do, you'll definitely pick up something from there. I think what we need to focus on is workshops that help single women and teach them how to add value to themselves and the Church of God, how to spend time with God, how to perhaps do devotion, study, how to attend fellowships as a normal human being, not a single woman, a normal human being, a Christian who belongs to a Christian community, not a single woman in a Christian community. That's a problem. I'm just a human being, you know. But also we need to involve them in the church and allow them to serve. Not involve them when we are doing program for single people.
Right.
No, allow them as ordinary human beings and Christian in the larger body of Christ.
Yeah.
And let them serve with their giftings. Everybody has a spiritual gift. There are spiritual gifts that people have who are single that even married people do not have.
Yeah.
Should we starve the church of those spiritual giftings because people are not yet married? Absolutely not. So those are some of the things we can do. We can also help support single people by helping them focus on their physical and spiritual growth. Let's support, if you want to be helpful, if you think I have a condition, which I don't see as a condition, then walk with me and help me.
Yeah.
Help me discover my spiritual growth and reach and attain the highest, best possible version of me, you know, when it comes to spiritual growth.
Mm.
Support my business, learn more about who I am, what I do outside the church, because I'm a person and I have a life. And you only know 2% of me on a Sabbath day here. That I could be some and many other things.
Mm.
Be interested in that and see how you can. We can just be normal people and how you can help me with other aspects of my life. I could be grieving a parent. I could be grieving. There are many things you can minister to me with than saying to me, I'll walk this journey with you. It's not a journey. It's my life.
Yeah.
You don't need to walk a journey of say it's my life.
Mm.
If God wants me to have a partner, he will give it to me. But I also think the last thing that single people should do, and if the church does, is not helpful. It's up to you to minimize distractions.
Okay.
God is your goal, not marriage. Marriage is a condition. Marriage is a blessing and a particular era in a person's life that comes eventually if it's meant for them. From birth, God knows whether we'll get there or not.
Yeah.
So it's a journey that eventually we get to if that's meant for you. But it's not a goal. This is why even when you get married, you don't stand on top of the roof to say I'm successful, because because it's not a success. It's your blessing. Yeah. Somebody else has a PhD, that's their success.
Yeah.
You see, understand what I mean? Marriage is blessed. It got to you and got to your family and your clan. And that was a beautiful blessing in all ways, but not a goal.
Yeah.
It's not a goal that people get to reach.
Yeah.
God is the goal. God is the ultimate goal. We've got to remind ourselves of that.
And
also remind ourselves that God has plans for us. Yeah. So don't want to like awaken love at the wrong time, you know, and question our seasons, because now we're questioning God.
Yeah.
Trust him.
Mm. Yeah. That's beautiful. As we're closing, what are some underrated blessings maybe that you can think about, or spiritual strengths of singlehood? And earlier I was asking the listeners, what is one thing that you really miss, those who are married or in relationships, one thing that you miss about being single, one of the things that was that you really valued in the single days?
I miss my time and my space.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I still do the things I love. I play my golf. I enjoy it. Fine. I've always done that. But, you know, even now I can't even drag it for the whole day. Like, I just forget and just be there the whole day, play golf.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, by the way, it's supper time. Actually, I need to,
need
to go and prepare dinner. Also the time of the freedom that comes with knowing that you're alone and there isn't, it's not a responsibility. Remember, even in marriage, it's service.
Yes.
It's not forced, right?
Yeah.
But you know that I have shared a life now. I have a partner in this journey. I have to now just spend time with him, even if it means we sit and do nothing. So you miss that as a married woman. I definitely miss it. I know that. Being able to just be alone and read or decide that tomorrow morning I'm actually going to wake up in Kenya. And I can decide that literally today.
Mm.
Because that's it. It's my life. I'll decide now that tomorrow I'll wake up in Rwanda.
Yeah.
So I'll fly overnight, even if it's at 2 a.m.
Mm.
You can't do that. That's like so weird. You've got to consult your fellow partner.
Yeah.
You know, not permission. Consult.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
You know, I'm thinking of being crazy and waking up in Kenya. And they need to assist this plan of yours that is crazy.
Yeah.
So there's this partnership, this amazing partnership in marriage that forces you to constantly engage with small and big things.
Mm.
Whereas when you were married, you literally just get up and do whatever. I see a post on Instagram right now and of something happening that I did not plan to go to. I knew nothing about it. I just saw it now, but I like it and I'm going.
Mm.
You, you see stuff like that sometimes is a little compromise because it's like, you know, you're sharing space with somebody else.
For sure.
So you miss things like that. I know I miss stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think it helps too when you do get there, there is somebody who understands not just you, but your gifts. And they must understand those gifts to some extent better than you because they've got to fuel and help you cushion them. Not somebody who's going to say, you've been doing church stuff so long, not today, say no. Or, you know, in fact, somebody's going to remind you that, by the way, remember there's this talk here. There's, how about you start doing these talks this way? Because they too know what they found. When they found you, and they amplify, they don't mute it. So I'd say my time of being able to practically just do anything whenever.
Beautiful. I can definitely identify with that. I can agree with that. Thank you so much, Jabulile. What a beautiful conversation. Thank you so much for your time. God bless you and God bless your ministry.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.